welcome back to Geek Speak Radio podcast. This is episode 3, and let's get started. So we have Harley today, and John as well.
Hi.
What's up?
Yeah. So and I'm Marcus. And what have you guys been playing pretty recently? Let's start with Harley. What games have you been playing recently, anyways?
Well, recently I haven't really been playing too many games. I've been sticking with the, you know, the classics with Mario Kart and that kind of stuff. I started a new game called League of Legends. It's kind of like a Dota game online, but yeah, I've been playing that sparingly, mainly Mario Kart and yeah, Smash Brothers. A little bit of Smash Brothers, not online though.
So how about you, John?
I've been playing a little bit of Time Splitters on PS2 and maybe a little bit of Mario Kart and throwing SmackDown vs. Raw in there too.
And with myself, I've been playing with a little bit of a Chrono Trigger and a bit of a Mario Kart as well. So that's all I've been playing recently, pretty much. So delving right in, let's go into the first story, which is Pokemon Black and White. It's announced that it's going to have a September 18th release in Japan, and most likely a late winter or early spring release for other regions. So, what do you guys think about when it's going to be released here?
Well, I'll start off here. I think it's going to be... I think this game is probably going to be released in most likely probably May or June, or I think towards the end of the school year. I think that would probably be a better time to release it. But they're not releasing it in December, are they?
I highly doubt it for other regions like North America or Europe.
Pan in September, so it's pretty early, yeah.
I'm going to go with most typical. It's probably going to be like June, July, which seems to be the most frequent dates for Pokemon games to be released.
I think I'm probably going to go with mid-May myself. I've seen a couple of them released around that time period, like April or May. We've seen Heart Gold and Soul Silver released in April just this year. And a couple of years back, we had... I think it was Diamond and Pearl was released around April and May.
Yeah, this is like pretty much like the millionth Pokemon game that's coming out, so
yeah, it's like
I haven't really been keeping track.
It's like generation five or six.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Pokemon, but I stick with the good old one.
Generation 1 and 2 were
so I think everything else is just an add-on. Just doesn't compare. The story, the everything just doesn't compare.
Yeah, I think... I don't know. I don't think it's going to hype as well as the Platinum Pearl series did. But we'll see.
Pretty much every game, every Pokemon game that's come out since the original have been pretty...
Blacked.
I guess overhyped, I guess. I mean, it's just not as good. I mean, they improved on certain gameplay mechanics and things like that. They try to make things interesting, but it's pretty much the same thing. I mean, you know, it's like the story is almost exactly the same. You have like a rival, and then you get to choose one of three Pokemon, and then you know, kind of just progress in that kind of a pattern. It's like really similar. They just make up new Pokemon names. So
yeah kind pretty of, much.
And plus, they already have done a Pokemon game on DS. They started with Diamond Pearl. Pearl, so I don't know how they can really improve on the gameplay from that, so it's probably going to go downhill from there.
Yeah, it's I think the best two generations were Generation 1 with Red and Blue, and the second generation with Gold and Silver. And of course, the remakes we just had this year with Heart Gold and Soul Silver. Besides
those are not bad, but the rest were just, you know, really...
It's pushing really it.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta admit, I didn't... The Heart Gold Soul Silver series did not do as well as I expected. I mean, it got too overhyped and didn't live up to the hype. So the game was kind of a disappointment. So I kind of expect the same thing from Black and White.
Well, I think most people are, like, most of us are a little older that remember when the original first two generations were released. Well, probably some of us have left that franchise, and there's probably another 5 kids that are just new to the franchise to replace that one person that left.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's a lot of... I don't know if the Pokemon is as hot as it is in, like, grade school now, but it was pretty darn hot when we were in like,
10 years ago.
3 and 4, yeah, whatever.
I don't know. Sometimes I think that it's been moving away from that genre, because you see more shooters and RPGs out than action games.
Yeah, I know little kids are playing, like, Counter-Strike now, and they're like...
Yeah, World of Warcraft...
Yeah, oh my goodness, that game is, I mean, like, you see, like, a grade 4 child playing, like, wow, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and there's another new MMO coming out that will rival it.
It's
Star Wars The Old Republic. It's the closest one that can come close to WoW.
Yeah, reminds me of something I saw online, this comic. I don't know if you guys seen it on Nerf Now about then and now. I don't know if you guys seen it.
I don't think
there's a comic online. I don't know.
I don't think I've checked it out, but we can always check it out for another time, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess we should move on to our next topic, which is the 3DS. There's possibly 3D video chat. Iwata said that it could offer video chat in the future. So what do you guys think of 3D video chat on a handheld system?
I think it's going to be just like... You know how the iPhone 4 came out and kind of the big thing was the chat, the video chat kind of thing? This is probably going to be just as big as big a selling feature, because a lot of people might just buy the 3DS just for chat purposes if the 3D really works out to be as good as it seems it'll be.
I don't know. I don't even see this passing over as well as it will. It just seems like it's going to end up like one of those hot tech items that you have, but may not be used to their full potential. Like having 2D games being used on the 3DS, not using the full 3D to its effect.
Yeah, it really depends on how good it can actually render 3D. I mean, the 3DS has, 2 cameras in the front, or is it in the back?
Right now,
I think it's the front.
Yeah, 2 in the front, 1 facing towards the user, 2 facing outwards. But the design right now is not finalized. They're still tweaking it at the moment.
Oh, okay. No, because if you're doing chat, right? Like, how would you chat with the... Because you need 2 cameras for the 3D, right?
Yeah.
And if the 2 are facing outward, then you have to, like, point the camera at you, but then you can't... Then there's no screen, and then you can't see the other person, right? So,
thinking is possibly that they're going to add a second camera in the inside, so you can
four cameras total.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, I think that's the way to go. I mean, that's the only way you can get both things done. Both to, like, you know, take pictures in 3D and also take photos of yourself in 3D. So that's the only way you can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, while we're on the topic of the 3DS, what if there was a second analog stick on the right-hand side? That could also work as well.
The right-hand side, it just doesn't. Like, I'm used to the A and B and then the Y and X, so
yeah.
It would just feel kind of weird. kind of like a PlayStation, but I don't know, it just doesn't feel normal.
Although we could see a second digital analog, like what we had for Metroid, you can use the whole screen as like an analog stick or something like that.
Yeah, possibly. I really don't, like, I don't know what the purpose of having a second analog would be. Like, you just got the first analog stick, and I don't know. Personally, I like the D-pad, but, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because, with the whole touchscreen, would an analog stick even do anything for the DS? I personally don't see it having that much of a function.
Yeah, there's too much going on. If you have like, two...
Yeah,
and
you
then,
have
like,
two...
the L&R, yeah. And, like, a whole bunch of stuff. It's just... It gets messy. So, I mean, it's, yeah. You know...
It's too distracting. I mean, you have too much going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Although, it's a little tough to work, put in a second one, but I would see using the touchscreen as the analog stick as a better idea.
They shouldn't even add the concept of an analog stick at all, so... I don't know. That's probably just going to be a hit and a miss kind of thing for the DS.
It could work for Star Fox in 3D, which I've heard works pretty well with the slider analog stick.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, having one analog, you know, for analog to replace D-pad, some people really don't like the D-pad because it hurts their fingers or something. But to have another one, it's just kind of overboard. It's a hand. I don't know why you'd want to use two directions. I mean, even on the PlayStation, like the PlayStation controller, I usually don't use both analogs anyways, right? So,
yeah, it's kind of, most yeah. Only shooters are both analog sticks, but wait, are they replacing the D-pad with an analog stick?
No, there's both a D-pad and an analog.
Yeah, so that doesn't make any sense to me. Too much going on, as I said.
Well, it does kind of work if you've seen the physical model, or at least a mock-up. It could work.
Oh, well, having one analog would just be like the PS3, right?
Yeah,
or like the
PSP.
The PlayStation controller. It just, you know, it has a directional pad, which you can use to control, or you can use the analog stick. It's kind of your choice, right? So,
yeah.
Like, if you play Street Fighter, it'll be like the same. But to have two analog sticks, I mean, I don't really know. Is that it's kind of, most of the time they're used for like changing camera position in the game, right? So I can see how you'd use that in 3D, but I mean, it's a handheld. The games are not going to be that complicated anyways. They're going to be pretty straightforward. I would probably imagine two-dimensional games that with a little bit of 3D here and there. It's not going to be rendered as well as like a console game on your television, you know. It's not going to be the same effect. So
yeah, so basic wrap-up on that is a second analog stick is basically useless for most gamers.
Yeah.
So, onto the next item. We have GoldenEye Wii, which is a totally new experience. It's not a remake of the 64 version. And they're using a Daniel Craig as the Bond model. And they're releasing it on November 2nd, 2010.
Which is actually kind of good. It's good that it's not a remake, because if it was a remake, it might have disappointed. As we all remember 64, and well, don't really think you could.
Well, it would only impress people that haven't played the 64 version, basically. Yeah. Like, yeah, so it'll impress like the children.
Yeah.
The 4-year-old kids playing first person shooters. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying Nintendo got to really lay off the remake, so at least this is not a remake, so it's good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, new storyline, new character. I mean, we have a new Bond, so I mean, you know, it's fitting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to take more of a serious tone based that Daniel Craig is Bond and not Pierce Brosnan, so yeah.
Yeah,
But all I'm really looking forward to is basically the online. I mean, that's like
the multiplayer.
Yeah, multiplayer. So like, I mean, well, preferably online, because I'm not really gonna have people over at my place like every day. But the online, if it lags, if like matchmaking is really sucky, then you know, it's got like the online is gonna be the reason why I get this game. It's gonna totally because it's not gonna be because of story or because of single player. I mean, that's a part of it, but like the replay will be like 90% on the online experience. It'll be,
yeah.
Hopefully it'll be awesome, just like the first one. But
yeah. And people have been known to play like 4, 5, 6 hours straight on GoldenEye 64.
Ooh, yeah. I've done that.
I guess that wraps it up for GoldenEye. We're going to move on to... Do you have anything else for GoldenEye, or...
At least we is having at least what adding a first player shooter to its system, which it kind of lacks. So that's another upside.
Yeah, there's a few on there like Metroid Prime 3, Dead Space Extraction. There's a couple other out there, and there's a couple on the rail shooters as well.
Yeah, but this one's probably going to be the major one.
It's good to see the Wii coming out with like good shooters for once. Call of Duty.
Because that can help them rival against Sony and thing, because Sony and Microsoft, most of their games are shooters, so it can help them out.
Yeah. I guess that kind of wraps it up for GoldenEye for us. And our next story is Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. There's going to be a fully orchestrated soundtrack, which is a first in history. So, what do you guys think of a fully orchestrated soundtrack for Zelda?
Oh, I mean, but I don't know if it'll, you know, make the game so much better that I'll buy it because of that. I mean, I think I'll buy it just because it's a Zelda game and it's been a while, right? But
yeah.
I don't know if a fully orchestrated soundtrack is going to be the deciding factor, nor is it going to be something that, you know, will attract non-Zelda fans to become Zelda fans.
Yeah,
it's gonna be good. I mean, it's, you know, orchestrated is usually better than like
this, you know, MIDI.
Yeah,
it's just basically the icing on the cake for Zelda fans and gamers around the world.
Yeah, but I don't think it's really going to do too much towards the sales of the game. It's just going to be a decent extra, but it's not going to be the selling point of the game.
Although if they release the soundtrack like separately on a CD, I'd probably...
Yeah, people will probably pick it up for the hell of it being a Zelda thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's decent quality music. It's not going to be like... There's a lot of video games that come out with soundtracks and they're just horrible, and they sell them for pretty much the same price as
like
real
25
music.
Bucks
like,
or 25, 30 bucks for one of those records.
Yeah.
So it's a nice extra, but it's not going to be the major point of the game. The game itself, the gameplay is what's going to sell it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That in the name, but that's given.
Zelda name, yeah.
Zelda's probably one of Nintendo's biggest franchises behind the Mario and Pokemon series.
Yeah. I guess that kind of wraps it up for news about Zelda. The next thing we have is Hulu Plus. One of you guys want to read it off?
Okay, I'll read it off. Basically, it's going to be a video service. It's going to allow you to stream videos for about $10 a month. This is $10 US. The service is only available in the US right now. So you can watch it on your computer, your iPod, your iPad, your iPhone, or, you know, over Wi-Fi, 3G. Pretty much, it's going to be available everywhere. It's coming to the PS3 soon. And it's already been slated for the Xbox early 2011. However, the biggest complaint so far has been that you got to sit through advertisements. And considering, you know, you have to sit through advertisements if you don't pay, by paying $10, you still have to sit through them. You really don't understand why you're paying the $10. I mean, it's the advertisements are probably the biggest annoyance with Hulu or any other video streaming.
Hey, even YouTube's gone on the bandwagon and has cut out their ads, so you don't need to sit through them while watching YouTube anymore, too.
Really? So yeah. Is that they've already made the change?
I think they're working on it, or they've already done it already. I haven't checked up YouTube on that recently, so.
Okay, yeah, well, that would be a big step forward. And, you know, with $10 a month, it's pretty much like you get all your television shows commercial-free, if you don't have the advertisements, that is, and that's pretty awesome.
If they do that, then it'll be a hit.
Yeah.
Well, in addition to that, like, their content right now is sort of limited. So it's like you can only watch television shows and things like that. But with streaming, right, and you can stream in HD, you can actually get, well, in the future, you'll probably be able to get movies and even, like, possibly news and things like that. And so if you have your, like, iPad or iPod Touch or whatever, you know, you can stream, like, live television from pretty much any channel, like sports, whatever, and it's only $10 a month, so that's, you know, really good.
Yeah, same with everyone else. My biggest gripe about it is that you need to sit through ads, and it isn't in Canada right now either, so.
Yeah, I know. Canada should really, well, Hulu was, like, never in Canada, right? So yeah. You can't watch Hulu videos from Canada, so it really, you know. But same hopefully with, they'll come soon.
Yeah, same
with Netflix. Or a similar service will develop. I mean, it definitely will sell. Like, $10 a month is like nothing. And you get access to a lot of stuff. So
even if it's like $15 Canadian, it's still going to sell.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you pay way more for cable or for satellite or whatever every month anyway.
Yeah.
I guess that... move on to PlayStation Network Plus. If you want to introduce us to the that topic with John.
Yeah, Network Plus is rumored to be about...
It is $50. It's been confirmed.
Yeah.
It's going
to... Need to run up. Hulu Plus.
It was rumored to be needed to run Hulu Plus, but Hulu already confirmed that you don't need PSN Plus to run Hulu.
Ah.
But if you get PSN Plus, does Hulu Plus come for free?
Is
that like a package deal? Because that would be
Yeah, it's pretty brutal
that
right now.
That kind of combo would
sell. Yeah, it's $50 plus another $10 per month. Which comes to $170 per year.
Oh, then there's no advantage to getting PSN Plus for Hulu anyways, right?
Well,
I actually don't know if there's an advantage at all to getting PSN Plus. I'll have to see. You know, $50 a year is... I mean, what they're trying to do is really slowly fade into the Xbox kind of pay yearly or monthly or whatever. But I don't know. When you're offering... unless it's significantly better than the PlayStation Network right now, I don't know if it's worth $50 a year. I mean, yeah, you can buy an Xbox and play online games or play you know, your similar online games.
I don't think it's $50 a month. I think it's $50
per
period.
Yeah, $50 per year. But I mean, you know, how much is Xbox Live for a year?
Same cost.
About the same.
So, I mean, you could, if you wanted solid online play, you know what the Xbox has to offer, and you can just buy that and play your games online. With PlayStation, it's kind of, I don't know, you're offering kind of a two-tiered service, and it's going to be hard to sell, because a lot of people will just stick with free, because $50 a year is still a lot of money, right?
Yeah,
especially since you have really no idea on what it has to offer, or if it's any better than Live.
Yeah, with Hulu Plus, you do not need to sign up for PlayStation Network Plus. It's just $10 a month.
Okay, that's yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, but you know, it would be awesome if they included it in the $5 because that would make it like another reason to get PSN Plus.
Yeah, I guess
maybe like a discounted price. But yeah, if it was packaged, then maybe not.
Yeah, I guess that's all we have for Network Plus for this week. The next topic is iPhone 4. It has quite a few issues for that we've seen so far. We've seen signal reception issues that you need to hold it a certain way to maximize reception. And some people have gotten random yellow dots or bands on the screen. Apple claims it's undried glue that they use to bond the screen to bond the unit together.
Which probably means that I doubt people are going to get the very first version of this, so its initial sales might bomb if they don't fix these mistakes.
Well, they have
Apple product, yeah. I mean, you're going to... like a iPhone 4.1 or whatever really soon, and it'll probably have all these fixes. I mean, they release stuff really quickly now. I mean, we just had 3GS not too long ago.
Yeah, exactly a year we've seen the 3GS come out.
Yeah, I mean, you can't expect someone to buy a new iPhone every year. That's kind of crazy. So you got to kind of pick and choose. The iPhone 4, I kind of saw this coming because anything that's kind of new, you're going to have some issues with it. So it's usually the version that comes right after the new that is perfected.
Yeah, so one of our viewers said, wait for iPhone 5. That could pretty much solve the problem right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, this issue with reception could be solved with coating the metal bezel that's surrounding the iPhone 4, which could help solve the connection issue. I guess we'll move on to the next thing, with Apple possibly heading towards cloud, and with wireless syncing and streaming media off of computers. It's rumored that they will let users stream local media from the servers to their devices, like their iPad or iPhone, and let them sync all their stuff, so you don't need all the cables to connect your product to your computer.
Yeah, which is a big upside, because a lot of people either lose their wires or the wires get damaged, and they're not the easiest things to replace. So moving to wireless syncing might boost the use of Apple items like the iPod and whatnot. Wires,
yeah, I mean, hopefully it'll go... you know, it'll run pretty well. Hopefully it won't be like the Zune with Microsoft kind of flopped with their kind of with their subscription, or with their I'm not sure if it was cloud based, but you know, it was similar wireless streaming and syncing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely more convenient with just streaming all the stuff to your devices without the wires.
Well, yeah, it's like Bluetooth, but for everything. So, I mean,
it'll be definitely an upgrade from what we have now.
Yeah. Everything seems to be moving to wireless. Why not Apple? You look at gaming controllers, they've gone wireless. Yeah. Why not media devices like iPods and all that stuff?
Yeah, I guess that's it for the cloud issue with Apple. But they do have Apple does have another thing on our news list, which is their new Apple TV redesign might be an actual TV instead of the small PVR box-like device.
So what it depends on the quality of the actual... It depends on the quality of the TV and also the price. With the way Apple prices things, usually being, 30% more, I mean, if they made a TV and they priced it, 30% more than the average HDTV, then to afford that. And a lot of people probably stray away from it. So I think they're hitting a really specialized market here. I mean, hopefully they're not going to they're not going to come out with a 20-inch television. It's going to be big, right? So the price is going to be big as well. And I think it really comes down to price and the kind of TV you get for that price, basically the size and quality.
Yeah. And with the build, I'm hoping that it'll be a pretty solid build since we've seen the iPhone 4 kind of let us down with quality control.
Yeah, and I don't really see Apple too much in the TV department, so I don't know. Might be a hit, might be a miss. As Harley says, based on the quality and the price, that they'll probably sell it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if it's an average TV, like if it's just 1080p and, with an Apple box inside and they charge average HDTV, let's say 50 inches, it'll probably get you $2,000. And if Apple charges an extra $600 on top of that for an Apple box, I mean, that's a lot of money. And you can buy the box right now for less than $600. So it doesn't really make sense why you'd, spend the extra money.
Yeah. I'm probably going to see, we'll probably see them sell the box separately for probably a nominal price if they don't actually want to buy the actual unit with the TV.
Yeah.
And I guess that's all we have for Apple today, so we'll move on to our next story, which is 2D making a comeback. 2D games like Sonic and New Super Mario Bros. Wii and Little Big Planet are making a comeback in the past couple of years. So, what do you guys think about this comeback with 2D games?
I guess they're all classics. I mean, most of us remember those games from our childhood, so they're not all too bad of an idea going back to 2D. Some might see it as a flaw going back technology-wise, but it isn't a horrible choice.
Well, no, I think games with, Little Big Planet and Super Mario Bros., I mean, these are games that were traditionally two-dimensional anyways, so... I think there's going to be a lot of people that the 2D will appeal to, and it's still on the story and the gameplay. So the 2D 3D kind of a thing isn't as when it comes to these kinds of classics. If it was a new game or a Metroid even, then that would be kind of disappointing.
Even Metroid has gone back to its roots with making it 2.5D. Some elements are purely 2D, and you can switch into a 3D mode if the situation is right.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, hopefully it'll be good. But if you played Metroid in 2D after playing it in 3D, first-person shooters, I think, are just much better in 3D. But scrolling, adventure type kind of games, or they don't really need to be 3D. It's more story driven. First-person shooters are more it's all about kind of the action.
Yeah, and a lot of the games that we're, classic ones are making comeback, so, yeah. And the next thing is there's a possibility of a Super Mario World being made in 3D.
So it'll be for the 3DS, right?
Let's sorry for the technical difficulties, but we're back now.
Yeah, John's battery's low, so...
Yeah, I'm still here for the moment being.
Yeah, so we're talking about the Super Mario World being remade for the 3D system for Nintendo. And hopefully that comes out pretty well, since most of us have played that game back in our childhood, at least.
Yeah, pretty much any 3D game that we played in childhood, if you can put it on a handheld, I will play that game, and I will thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, any game from my childhood, as long as it's not too much of a remake, I think it'll sell well.
Yeah, with this one, it's probably going to be totally revamped, and also some new things will be thrown in as well. If there's one thing that we could probably add is probably a good map system as well for the... Like, retrofit some of the older stuff that might have not worked for older games. Okay. Do you have anything else to add for Super Mario World out there?
Not at the moment.
Not really. I hope that this isn't the only game that's going to be remade. I hope that
helps it
there are future games that'll follow. I mean, my dream is to have Smash Brothers on a handheld one day, so that'll be the best game ever.
Yeah, a lot of gamers have been trying to get Smash, like, even some fans have been trying to get Smash Bros. Onto the DS with remapped sprites and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, if Nintendo could come out with... It doesn't even need to have that many characters, or it doesn't need to have, like, you know, it doesn't need to be flashy or anything, just... Make a fighting game, DS or the 3DS, it'll probably be the best game on the DS. It'll probably run close to Mario Kart in popularity. I mean, it's just going to be mind-blowing.
Yeah, even if you look at Smash Bros. And Mario Kart, they're pretty much the top two franchises on the Wii and the GameCube.
Yeah, so hopefully Super Mario World will be the start of, you know, many games being remade. You know, many 64 games being, you know, made into handheld 3D. So, I mean, that'll be awesome.
Even Star Fox and Ocarina of Time have been confirmed for a 3DS.
Yeah.
Yep. Just waiting for Smash Brothers.
Yep. That's a big title we're all waiting for. So, I think we're pretty much done here. If there's anything else you guys want to talk about.
I'm done.
I've done nothing.
Yeah, so we'll be ending our podcast here for tonight. So hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll see you in about a month, since we're going to take a bit of a hiatus for the rest of the month. We'll see you guys later.
Later.